innovative, thoughtful, provocative. Welcome to The Soul Speaks on the EX3 Radio Network with your host, Lynn Renee.
Testing. Okay, sounds like we... Okay, sorry about that. Sounds like we had some technical difficulties. We apologize. But it looks like we got it together. So thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for holding on. And we're going to... I guess we're going to have to start again. Again, thank you so much for holding on, and I do apologize for those difficulties. We did a recap on what we talked about last week, which was the greater you. And I want to say thank you to all the listeners, first of all, and I'm so sorry for what you've had to go through tonight, but I'm just glad that the door has been open, the way has been open for us to have this discussion in spite of the difficulties that we may have had, the technical difficulties, but I want to recap on last week and talk to you about the greater you. We talked about the challenges that we have and how we have to be willing to do what's necessary in order to obtain life, sustain joy and peace and happiness no matter where we find ourselves. Even when we're positive, we have to maintain that positivity. We talked about the greater one being capable of doing that. We still have to contend with that which is outside of ourselves that's in direct conflict with what we are trying to accomplish. And so last week we said that we would have to take some things by force. And we were talking about that which is within us, the kingdom, and that we have permission to go within and obtain the things that we need by force, and that means putting some pressure on ourselves, you know, putting some pressure on our holding fast to that which we are trying to accomplish, not letting go. The greater one in you is the conqueror, we said. Accept that about you. Accept the real you. Operate in it. Operate in that which you are made of, and don't look outside of ourselves for the answers. So last week was an awesome topic, and we're going to have an even greater topic today. And I think as we go on with this and as it leads up to, you know, the weeks coming and as we continue, there's going to be a change. It's inevitable. It has to be. There is no other way. So don't be afraid of the real you. I believe sometimes we don't want to explore who we really are. Think about it. Think about what would make you not want to look in the mirror in a more deep way or think more deeply about your feelings. What makes us turn our head away from ourselves and look to outside forces to make us feel good about, you know, who we are? Why do we work so hard to please others, even at our own expense? When I say that, I'm not talking about making an effort to help someone. I'm talking about giving up the best part of who we are, trying to make up for someone else's insecurities and fears. There are many ways we overlook our true selves. Domestic violence, we talk down about ourselves so others can feel good about themselves, telling ourselves we can't get past certain issues, unforgiveness, worry, fear. We can't fix anyone else. We can only be responsible for ourselves. You being a punching bag or you or I being a punching bag does not fix the other person's ways. It doesn't fix them. Unforgiveness will eat away at you. Worry won't change your circumstance and situation. And we say we know who we are. Have we really taken a look at who we are? I think we ought to look again, because what sense does it make to find ourselves in some of the situations that we find ourselves in repeatedly? There are things that can happen, and it's a one-time thing, and we learn from that, and we move on in a lot of cases. But then there are other cases where we find ourselves in that same situation over and over and over again, and that's insanity. But we say we know who we are. Do we really know who we are? Notice how the one that is affected so negatively is you. If not careful, we will ultimately destroy ourselves. We would like to blame others, but it's all you. Your decision, your choice. Do you really think that this is who we are? Or the craziness we find ourselves going through is what life has to offer us? Do you really think that this is what life is all about? I believe the whole time we are living in some of the ways mentioned, there's a nagging feeling deep inside that is trying to speak to us, telling us to do better, that we deserve happiness, that there is something better in life than what we are experiencing. I know sometimes, even if you say, I have all that I need, based on, I don't know, money, status, or even power and authority, there is still something deep within that says there is more than what we are experiencing. I can remember finding myself in a situation where, you know, I had to just open up and say, you know, there's got to be more to life than this. And even if, you know, again, even if things are positive, even if, you know, you have money and status, there is something nagging on the inside that says this can't be all that there is. Perfect example for me was I was sitting in church several times. And, you know, I love worship. I love the word. But something on the inside of me just kept saying that there's got to be more than to life than this. It's got to be about more than this. You see, we have bought the lie that this is life. No, this is what we have made up of life. It is not the real thing. We bought into the opinions of people and institutions, not to say that all opinions are bad, but they are made up of people like most of us, people that don't know who they really are, people who are unaware or not tuned in to true source. These are the people with just like us that we are allowing to prepare our mindset or tell us, you know, the way we ought to think, the way we ought to be. Okay, let's look at life. Most people think life is a set of rules that society makes up about what is acceptable, how we behave, what type people are powerful, who is to be respected. We even have religious institutions tell us that we need to be a part of their organizations and way of thinking to be accepted by God. All these things are distractions from what and who we really are. Life is not a set of rules to live by per se, by the act, you know, by the actual breath that you and I breathe. It is, okay, I'm sorry, I misquoted that. It's not a set of, life is not a set of rules to live by, but life is the actual breath that you and I breathe. Now, I know we take that for granted, but the breath that you and I breathe, it is God. It is the force that allows us to experience ourselves. It causes us to be aware, to know we exist. Sure, we take it for granted, but don't inhale and see how long you have breath, or see how long you have life. And those two words are used interchangeably. Breath is that which we all share. and it does not care about your color, your creed, how much money you have, what your status is, how you look, your education. It is the never-changing constant in our lives. We have to learn to appreciate it, to love it, and you will find that it is directly associated with your true self. Now, I know that we take that for granted. See, we're looking at all of the things that are outside of ourselves, all the material things, but the true essence of something that causes us to live is the breath of life. We know that to be true. I don't care what religion you are. Again, there's one thing that we share in common. We may not, you know, have the same philosophy, or, you know, we don't serve God the same way or whatever. See, we're even distracted by that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is we all share the breath of life. It is not just for one person. We all are aware that we exist. And that is the commonality. And that is God. So to walk around and to think that, you know, that any one of us are better than anyone else is crazy. God so what? Loved the world. It is one breath. And that the breath is what? I mean, if we look at Scripture from the standpoint of Christianity, it says that the breath that God breathed is the breath of life. Now, we have given some other name to life or some other meaning to life. But the life of God is our background. The life of God is what we all live by. So now, we're talking about who we really are. If we can take hold to the fact that the very breath that we breathe is life, is the life of God, then we will find ourselves beginning to understand who we are. Because who we are is what? In the image and after the likeness of God. So if that's who we really are, then we don't have worries. We don't have situations that we should feel trapped by. There should be no lack in us. We wouldn't feel like we're lacking something. We're not good enough. We deserve, you know, unfair treatment or low self-esteem. None of these would be issues if we really understood who we are, because we would be living by that. Not just in words or letters in a book. I'm talking about really understanding that the life force of God is who we are. We can't help it. We didn't make it. It was given to us. It is a gift of life. It is the gift that's been given to us. It's not of us, it is of God. And so we can't help but to be or in his image and likeness as he has made us to be. And when we understand that, then we operate differently. We can have a boldness in understanding the power that's within us. And what's amazing to me about this is when Jesus came, he came with a message. But the only thing that we can seem to hold on to is that he died on the cross for our sins. And we have made that the greater thing. But without the message, what would dying on the cross have meant? We would never come to realize who we are without his message. His message was the kingdom of heaven is within us. His message was that I and the Father are one, and if you've done it to one, you've done it to the other, you've done it to me. So he was trying to get us to come together and see the greater picture. And that is that we are the image and likeness of God. The greater picture, and that is that we are one. Because he said that one part of his message was that if you see someone in need of food and you don't feed them, or someone in need of clothing and you don't clothe them, he said, just like you've done that to them, you've done that to me. And when we don't treat each other right, the things that I do to you, I've actually done them to me. And to confirm that statement, when Jesus was dealing with the woman that was caught, I think she was caught, I guess, in prostitution or adultery. And he told them that he who was out then cast the first stone. But he also said that if you even think on committing adultery, that you've already done it. This is how powerful who we are. This is what the message was all about, trying to get us to be free from the captivity of our minds that was in bondage to that which is outside of ourselves, as we can still find ourselves in that position today, not looking within ourselves to find out who we really are. That was the whole point of the message, trying to get us to see who we really are. Take a look on the inside. He said the kingdom of heaven is where? It's within. So all that God is, his image and likeness, everything that we have need of is within ourselves. And how can we not treat ourselves well? How can we not love ourselves knowing that this is within us? Knowing that the very breath that we breathe is the life of God flowing through our bodies. How? Why would we put up with such craziness that we find ourselves going through with this knowledge of who we are? If we know that, do we really know who we are? I want you to look again. I want you to begin to explore that. I mean, this is real. We should no longer, we can't be in captivity any longer. We have been set free. But we have allowed ourselves to be enslaved to things that are meaningless. Based on the Bible, when God created and then made form man, again, he breathed the breath of life. Okay, think about it when a baby's inside the mother. Breath is received through the mother. When the baby is born, it must inhale in order to partake of the breath of life. Have to inhale in order to partake. So see, we are partakers of that breath of life. So that means that all of us share that common thread. And that very breath of life makes us all common, makes us all the same. It's not changing up, you've got this type of breath of life and you've got that type of breath of life, and it doesn't work like that. It's one breath. One breath. And we are all partakers of that one breath. That one breath, which is the breath of life. That one breath, which is God. That one breath, which is existence, belongs to all of us. We all share it. So if all there is God and his attributes, and he made us to be after his image and likeness, and I know I'm reiterating this, but I'm trying to get us to go someplace here. I'm trying to get us to recognize how awesome, awesome, I do mean awesome, and powerful we are. And everything outside of ourselves does not lead us to that place, does not lead us to that understanding. And this is why we find ourselves unhappy, worried, not feeling like, you know, life is worth living in some cases, always sad. This is why we find ourselves in that situation. We low self-esteem. We don't feel like we can accomplish. All these things are outside of ourselves and keep us outside of ourselves, keep us from looking within, keep us from taking another look at who we really are. I'm saying today to take another look. Find out who we really are. It's inside of you. Find that time to focus within. And when you do that and just, you know, relax about it, you will find that information coming to you. You will find that presence. And you will begin to hear from that. You will begin to understand things that haven't been told to you from anything outside of yourself. It's not just for some. It's not just for the elders or, you know, the apostles or the preachers. Because we all are still partaking of that one breath. And that one breath is always speaking. That one breath is who it is, and that is the supreme being. Some people call it source. Some people, you know, we give names to what God is. But in essence, there is no name that you can give God. There was a time many, many years ago when you didn't utter God's name because he was so holy and so sacred. There was no word for God. But now we have many names. And, you know, what you call God is not important. What's important is that you understand who God is in your life, and that you are in his image and likeness. And it's funny, we have so much, you know, even religion can distract us, because if you're not doing it this way, you're not doing it that way, you know, we don't connect. We don't uphold one another. But the truth of the matter is, there are some things that don't change no matter what your religion is. Joy doesn't change. Peace doesn't change. Breath certainly doesn't change. We are all partaking of that same breath no matter what religion we are. God's image and likeness doesn't change. So see, everything outside of that is just, it's foolishness. It's going to prevent us from walking in that power and authority that we have, that's available to us at all times. It's time for us to begin to grow in our authority, to grow in God, to be that which we really are, which is his image and likeness. So we talked about, after the baby being born, is having to partake of life. But the distraction for us as well is that we're busy with this fake meaning of life and have blocked out or are unaware of what is real. We'd like to hear your soul's expression tonight. We'd like for you to call in and talk to us. Talk to the listeners. Tell us what you think. You have a comment, or you have something that you believe that you've experienced that confirms what I'm speaking to you tonight, or a question. Give us a call at 929-477-3860. We want to hear your soul's expression. We want you to express yourself. I have to speak the words of Jesus who came to set the captives free from an enslaved mind of society, a society with no clue of who they were. Awesome message that he had. The kingdom of heaven is within. We thank God for that message of Christ, that Christ came with. And we need to be, it would behoove us to think on that message. Those that are profess Christianity, read the words of Jesus. Very spiritual. Just like today, if, you know, we're trying to get closer to that message, to what Christ was speaking of. And even back then, he said, you know, I would like to tell you many things, but you're too egotistical, or you're too fleshly. And so those words were not received. I hope we're receiving these words today because we are spirit. Our true essence is spirit. Give us your opinion on this. 929-477-3860. We are taught emotionalism. About the death of Christ and have not really heard the message. Really, take a look. Take another look. Look at the message. Christ knew who he was. He knew that he and the Father are one. Just like I'm telling you tonight, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So what does that make us? It makes us also one with the Father. And what a powerful, if I can use the word backdrop, and that's not a sufficient word, but it's like, it's that which you can lean on. It's that which you can go to be uplifted. It's that which you can go to receive power and strength. Man, it's really awesome to think about it. He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. I in you and you in me. One spirit in us all and through us all. I mean, there's everything, even in Christianity, in the Word, that is telling us that we are one with God. Or that all that we are comes from God. We can even say that. I think every way that I can say it, I practically said it tonight. So I am hoping that we have ears to hear. What we do to others, again, we said this earlier, that we do to ourselves, meaning we reap what we sow. So let's be careful. Jesus knew it was one breath and that we are all partakers. It is the sustenance of God making us all one. That's why if I hurt you, I hurt me. And I'm going to interject this. The color purple when Celie says, what you've done to me, already done to you. Again, Jesus said if you think it, you've already done it. That's when he was talking about committing adultery. So be careful of what we do to others, because what we do to others, we actually do to ourselves. And think about that. That would make us treat people a whole lot differently. It would definitely make us more careful of the things that we do to others. God said to love our neighbors, love God first. And this is what we're talking about tonight. coming to that understanding of the image and likeness and holding fast to it, allowing ourselves to go within to find out more about that image and likeness. We already know a lot about this ego, our, you know, or that which is outside of ourselves, and very little about the image and likeness of God. And make no mistake, it doesn't all come from a book. This is why we must do the work to search within ourselves, because you are a unique person, and there are some things that's only going to get you through in a certain way and may not help someone else. So it's powerful. It's powerful. And as we continue to learn more and more about this image and likeness of who we are, and to practice it, and to allow that which is within us to of the image and likeness to manifest, man, life ain't getting, that's the abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you would have life and you would have it more abundantly. The abundance that he was talking about is not things that are without outside of yourself, but that which is within yourself. Those are the treasures. And so his message was that he wanted you to have that more abundantly, more of it, more of that knowledge that of who you are. I say we've had an awesome conversation tonight. I want you to participate, get involved. I'm sure that there's something that you can share. 929-477-3860. We're all on the same playing field. The real you has all the attributes and likeness of God. I'm going to say that again. We are all on the same playing field. The real you has all the attributes and likeness of God. If you are a believer of the Bible, it says made in the image and likeness of God. When we really believe it and understand it, we will be it. If we believe it and understand it, we will be it. It's time to be. And I've found out that the more I receive and the more I just relax, don't be so uptight. Find moments in a day to just take a deep breath. Matter of fact, take one now. Just breathe in and breathe out. I've said this before. Even doing this simple thing will make a big difference in your life. See how we just take it for granted? Breath. I can remember getting an understanding of some time ago about this breath. It's the understanding that the breath is the depth of who we are. And now I really understand it, because now I understand that that breath is God. When I got that nugget, that bit of information years ago, I didn't understand it like I understand it today. Your breath is the depth of you. And now knowing, understanding that breath is God, it is saying that God is the depth of who we are. I know our minds, we don't want to wrap our minds around that, but it's real. It is more real than anything outside of yourself. Everything that's outside of us has been manifested. Think about that. It is not eternal. That which is within us, which is God, is what? Eternal. Everlasting. We won't be subject to, you know, if we knew all of this and understood it, we wouldn't be subject to cruelty and negative opinions of others. We walk in the power of existence given by breath. Present always. There we go, not receiving that which is real. See, it's the power of existence given by breath. And it is present always. Jesus said it like this, never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave us nor forsake us. This present is always. Breath is always present. This is not arrogance. This is who we are. This is just as we are made and blessed to partake of this. We are made and blessed to partake of breath. We are made and blessed to partake of this breath. So, you know, to speak that we have this power, to speak that, you know, we are the image and likeness of God, that's the truth. That's not arrogance. That's just the truth. We ought to receive. This is what we should build ourselves upon. Make it our business to begin to know this about ourselves. When we know this, we should feel secure and confident because we understand that God is existent, and we don't know any, and if we don't know anything else, we know existence. Or we could say that we know that we have breath. Think about this. Any questions or comments? We have a few more minutes. 929-477-3860. Talking tonight about, do we really know who we are? Do we really know who we are? Not who we were, who we've fashioned ourselves after. Not the society that says that we should, you know, behave this way or that way or do this or do that or, you know, in order to be worth anything, you've got to make this much money or you've got to live in this kind of a house. Isn't that something? All this nonsense. All of this meaningless stuff. And you know it's meaningless because as soon as something goes on in your life, none of that stuff is important. But while we are out there, you know, working ourselves to death, and these are the things that we are after. These are the things that we're working hard to get. These are the things that's important to us. It's important to us to have the designer clothing and, you know, the really nice house and, you know, all of this stuff. I'm finding as I get older and I come to more understanding, I can't stand stuff. You know, it's like, whoo, let's clear some of this stuff, too much stuff. Let's clear some of this stuff out. Stuff is not important to you anymore when you come to this understanding of what's really important. So we're going to take that look at ourselves as we meditate on what was said to us tonight and go through until we meet again next week. Think about this. Think about, you know what, who am I really? I am the image and after the likeness of God. That's who I am, really. And the death of Christ would be for nothing if we don't get this understanding. Because there was a message. That was his whole MO. That was what he was here to do, was to give us this message to understand who we are, to understand that the kingdom is within us. God is within us. God is our backdrop, the very breath that you breathe, the breath of life given to us. Imagine that, image and likeness. I can't say enough about that, because that in itself is powerful. That says so much about who we really are. It's a hard subject to talk about, because God is so awesome and so vast, it's hard to wrap our minds around, you know, what God really is. You know, the only thing that we seem to hold on to is, you know, we have some scriptures, but, and that's nice, but we've got to understand the meaning behind the scripture. And I think a lot of times the scripture is just bold right up front, but for some reason we are more ever in a reciting mode of it than we are in a partaking mode, that we take that on and get some understanding, you know, with all our getting, get understanding. What do we get understanding of what it really means to be in God's image and likeness? Get understanding of what it really means when it says that if you've done something wrong to someone else, you've done it to yourself. Or if you've thought on something negative, you've already done it. It's like we're just reading words and not really trying to get the understanding of that. Because the understanding of that means that we have to look within and find out who we really are. And it's easier to just march to the beat of what's outside of ourselves, because it's already been fixed. It's already set up for us. Let's see if we have a caller tonight. Looks like 0827 is the last four digits. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Lynn, this is your favorite fan, Yvette. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Yvette.
Thank you. Listen, I just want to throw one thing out there. Now, if people choose not to change their ways, especially the negative, the nasty ways, you know, things like that, how do they expect to go to heaven? You know, I kind of analyze that and, you know, kind of connecting these dots here. And I'm saying to myself, if people is comfortable with where they're at and it's in a negative way, do they really think that they're going to heaven with that? Now, I'm a smoker, Lynn. You know that. Now, what am I going to do in heaven if I don't change that? Smoke? I don't think so, Lynn. So all I just want to say, people, if you're walking around with such a nasty attitude, please don't think you're going to heaven with that attitude. If you don't believe me, read Psalms 37, and it'll let you know. Because, Lynn, the sad thing about, you know, just people in general, first of all, we already know we're walking around with a treacherous heart anyway. But when we be acting upon that, Lynn, like it don't affect other people, it does, Lynn. And I just want to share one thing about myself, Lynn. I am hearing impaired, Lynn. And for 40-something years, I never allow grass to grow under my feet. And all of a sudden, I came down with something, and it just grew the grass under my feet. Now, of course, you know, that got me very depressed. Family, fine, you know, they sharing this, showing me sympathy and all of that. But I, outside of my family, I have a male companion. Been very great, all of that. But in the meantime, Lynn, I'm still going through my depression with not being able to hear. You know, so I didn't realize that it was affecting this person. And just one day, after so many years of me, I didn't realize I was complaining so much, Liz. The brother said to me, you know what? Please, Lynn, he begged me. And you know when a grown person got to say, please, what was next? Was shut the bleep up. Now, it ain't funny, Lynn, because I'm going to tell you, that thing stabbed me. It hurted me. And it made me leave that situation for a month. But Lynn, I had to sit back and say to myself, you know what? This person has been by my side from day one. Never left my side. Been there to take me, you know, whatever. Why am I mad at that person? So you have to mature yourself, Lynn. So I had to be the mature one, go to this person.
Think about that, huh? You had to think, give some thought to it and go within yourself to realize.
Exactly, Lynn. Exactly. And I had to apologize because, you know, when that person said, you know, shut the bleep up, I'm the type of person, Lynn. Hey, that didn't go by too swell with me, so, you know, I cut it up for a minute. But it took me some time to say, wait a minute, you know. So you do have to mature yourself because wisdom, Lynn, doesn't come just because you got a degree, just because you got money. Wisdom comes with maturity.
I don't want you to get cut off because what happens is this studio will shut down at exactly 35 seconds. I wish you had
I just wanted to share that because you do have to change people.
Right. Thank you so much for a faithful caller. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Lynn.
No problem. We got a few seconds before we go off the air. And I just want to thank you all for listening, and I pray that you take a look within yourself. And it looks like we are over. Have a blessed night.